Today we wrap up our set of sermons on which we have been examining our relationship to our possessions and our money. It's not a favorite topic for most pastors and most churches to talk about money, but I kind of like talking about it. I'm talking about this today for two reasons. Today, each of us who consider this our church home will be asked to make a commitment of our resources, our money, time, talents, gifts, and service to the ministry of our church for 2018, which will determine our ministry in the coming year. And I hope you're prayerfully thinking about what God is calling you to give. But did you know that that is not the primary reason we've been doing these sermon series on our resources and contentment and generosity? Much more importantly, and the reason I like talking about it is because I want each of us to really and truly have peace within and have abundant life. And the truth is that how we spend our resources, our finances, as well as our time, talents, gifts, and service, it greatly impacts our level of contentment and peace and meaning and purpose in life. It's important. And so here in this church, we talk about it. Today, we're going to finish this series by looking at generosity. Let's pray as we begin. God, as we hear your word read, as it is shared, open our ears, help us to hear. Free us from distractions around us and all those things running through our mind, competing for our attention. Free us from them so that we can really listen. Open our minds, give us a glimpse of the divine. And would you open our hearts that we might really and truly be formed and changed by your message. In the name of Christ, we pray this. Amen. Just realized I had my cell phone in my pocket and I really don't want this to go off during the service. There's a story, it is a supposedly a true story, about a man in New York City who was kidnapped. His kidnappers demanded a $100,000 ransom from his wife, but his wife was able to talk them down to a $30,000 ransom. So the man returned home unharmed. The kidnappers were caught. But don't you kind of wonder what happened when that man got home and he found out that his wife got him back for a discount? Well, we've been talking about good stewardship, using our resources well. Still, I'd like to think that if I was in the situation that this man was in, there would be people who would be willing to spare no expense to get me back. They wouldn't haggle over the price. In fact, my parents would probably say, she's worth way more than $100,000. I'd want people to be generous in their efforts to save me. Did you know that God created us to be generous people? God created us with the desire, and even more than the desire, with the need to give. Actually, to be fully whole, to really have peace, we need to be generous. You see, generosity, it really flows out of a spirit of gratitude, that awareness, that deep sense of thankfulness for all the blessings we have in life. And no matter what any of us are facing, we have a lot of blessings in life, including the blessing of being here in this space right now. And in response to this gratitude, we desire, we even need to give ourselves. Generosity reminds us that it isn't in the abundance of our possessions that we find joy and contentment. Rather, joy and contentment, it comes in right relationship with ourselves, with other people, and with God. And when we realize this, we happily give to meet people's needs and to make a difference in the world. And then we find real joy in giving. Much better. Now I can go on 10 or 15 more minutes. This is what Jesus meant when he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Life is a gift. We all know that. And ultimately, that gift belongs to God. Think about it. When you came into the world, what did you bring with you? Absolutely nothing. And when you leave this world, what are you going to take with you? Absolutely nothing. Author John Ortberg says it this way: when the game is over, it all goes back in the box. We don't really own anything. As the psalmist puts it in Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and everything that is on it. You see, we are tenants in God's land. We are stewards of God's resources, and our work is to determine how God wants us to use the resources that are at our disposal. Much of our resources need to go toward taking care of our own needs. God wants us to have shelter and food and to take care of our families. God also really and truly wants us to enjoy our lives. Some of our resources are to be used for that. But God expects us to do more than focusing on ourselves. Scripture teaches us that we are to return a portion of all that we have to God. From the early days in the Old Testament, God's people observed the practice of giving a portion of what they had to God. At first, this practice was around burnt offerings. They would bring an offering to God and they would completely burn it. It was their way of saying, God, I give this to you and I give it to you alone. Later, the people brought their offerings to the priests and offered them for the work and ministry of the temple. Such gifts were called the first fruits or the tithe, and it equaled one-tenth of one's flocks or crop or income. In the time of Moses, the tithe became law. Before taking care of themselves, they were required to bring one-tenth of their first fruits to God. But we in this room, we're Christians. We live under the new covenant that came with Jesus Christ, so we are no longer bound by that law of Moses. So what does God expect from us today concerning giving? Many people believe that the tithe, giving 10% of what we have, is a good guideline for giving and it pleases God. Whatever we feel led to give, we give our offering to accomplish God's work, and we do so with a spirit of deep gratitude. Our offerings are a way of saying to God, God, I'm returning a portion of what I have because I realize it's all of yours, and I'm returning it because I want to say thank you. Please take this gift and make a difference in the world with it. Please take this gift and change me through giving it. It really isn't about a specific amount of money or even a specific percentage of money. It's really about what's going on in our hearts. Remember, we were created with a need to be generous. We can see this in our children. Sometimes they selfishly want everything, but can't you remember times that your children just did things that astounded you? This year, for my brother and sister-in-law's anniversary, my 8-year-old nephew went and collected all the money that he had earned and raised all of his life, and he put it in a package, and he gave it to his parents. And they wisely kept it. He'll get it back. But they knew that he had that need to be generous. And when we're not generous in giving, we not only have a financial problem, what ends up happening is that we have a spiritual problem. You see, when we're continually receiving blessing, but we aren't giving back in glad response, then we aren't experiencing the lasting satisfaction and contentment that we are created to have. You see, we were not made to continually take in and never give anything back. That's constipation. That's ultimate joylessness. When we are generous to God, when we're generous to our families, when we're generous to our friends, to our churches, to those in need, we find joy and peace and meaning in life, and we feel a whole lot better within. We see our acts of generosity helping other people and making a difference in the world, and we feel ourselves blessed. Many Christians and Christian preachers have it wrong. They say that if you give, then God will give more back to you. That's the prosperity gospel. You've heard that. You give and God will double, triple, quadruple your giving right back to you. But that's not how it works. We don't give to God so that we can get something back. But the truth of the matter is that when we give to God, when we give to others, good things do come back to us. There's no guarantee that if we give generously that we'll never lose our job or we'll never get sick or bad things will never happen to us. But when we give generously, we know that the blessings of God flow into our lives in abundance. Many years ago, there was a small tribe of Native Americans who lived in Mississippi along the bank of a very swift and dangerous river. The current was so strong that if anyone fell into it, they would likely be swept to their death. One day, this tribe was attacked by another tribe, and they found themselves literally with their backs up against that treacherous river. They were greatly outnumbered. Their only possibility for escape was to cross the current, which meant sure death for the children and the elderly and those who were weak and even many of those who were strong. The leaders of the tribe, they got together and devised a plan. The logical thing, the reasonable thing, the expedient thing, the sensible thing would have been to leave the weak ones behind. After all, they were going to be killed anyway, so why risk the death of the strong ones in an effort to futilely save the others? That was the rational answer. But they just couldn't do it. Instead, they chose to be extravagantly generous. They decided that those who were strong would pick up the weaker ones and put them on their shoulders. They did this. They were filled with fear as they began wading out into the rapid waters of that river. And they were met with a surprise. To their astonishment, they discovered that the weight on their shoulders enabled them to keep their footing through the treacherous current and to make their way safely to the other side. Their own extravagant generosity saved them. It often works that way. Friends in Christ, beloved ones, let's choose to live our lives for others and give generously out of the abundance God has given us. Let's give with extravagance. Let's give with joy. And in so doing, may we bless others. May we really and truly make a difference in our community and in our world. And may we experience the abundant blessings that come when we choose to be generous. May it be so. Amen.